CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central, and it's so good to be with you. Last week I wasn't here, Phoebe, but you guys were so good.
The way I missed you terribly, but obviously we had a good time. It was International Women's Day, the Tuesday beforehand, so the Thursday it was filled with femme fatale, and it was great, but your presence was missed, Gareth Armstrong.
Thank you very much for saying that. It didn't sound like that in the studio, no, because it really, really was.
Oh,
such
you promise?
A good, it was such a good show, good content, great content. In fact, just remind us, it was the SMEZ founder,
Darlene Menzies,
and then the other show was a young global. Not a young global leader.
World Economic Global Leader.
Yeah, World Economic Forum Global
Correct.
Leader, Global Shaper. Yes. So great content there. Phoebe, just there are people that have tuned in here. They've never heard the show before. What's this all about? And I know I always hand it over you to do this, and sometimes you enjoy it, sometimes you don't. But today's a little bit different. You've got something else for us.
You know, you've got a great quote on Twitter on Future_CEOs. Anyone can work a 9-to-5 during the week and go out on weekends and be sour when Monday comes back around. But not just anyone can quit the 9-to-5 to pursue their dreams. Not anyone can just handle the sacrifices that need to be made to keep on going. And not just anyone can handle the stress that comes with taking on obstacles one will encounter. This is a big shout out and a word of support to all those who have taken this gigantic step, working night and day to achieve your goals. Don't get enough credit until you've made it. And once you do, suddenly people act as if they've been supporting you from day one. So this is the show to tune into. Thursdays, 2 to 3 Future CEOs just for you.
Yeah, exactly. All of those, I mean, and As Phoebe was reading, of course you related, you heard it and you felt, okay, yes, that's me. So this is the show for you. Mark, we'll introduce you in a moment, but that seems quite familiar, doesn't it, to you? Yes, no?
Yeah, sacrifice. I think it's one of those really interesting things when you start a business. You know, overnight success, I think, is something that you see a lot of in the media and coming out of the media sector. But I think for every cover person that you see on the front page of a magazine or newspaper or internet site, you don't see the hours that happen behind the scenes.
Now, that's the voice of Mark Ashton, the MD of MoneyWeb. Now, I mean, when we hear MoneyWeb, that's a big brand. I mean, you're listed on the JSE. You guys are really, I mean, I would say the leaders in providing information around investments here in the country, perhaps Southern Africa. How do you feel about some of the stuff that I'm sharing? Is it a yes or no?
Yeah, I think it's a fair representation of us. When we say JSE listed, it sounds more grandiose than it really is. We're one of the, I think we're the third smallest JSE listed media business. But yeah, we've been going since 1998 as a listed business. We effectively run a major financial news site in South Africa, which is the moneyweb.co.za site. We run an international mining site called MineWeb. We have an events business. We have a video production business. So we've got a little bit of everything. But yeah, we play in this very exciting media space.
We also define you as an entrepreneurial philanthropist. What do you mean by that?
I'm not sure. What do you mean by that?
What do we mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, I love this. I love entrepreneurship. It was where I kind of cut my teeth in terms of both my media background and being involved with small business. I successfully blew up a small business when I was about 23, 24. And I learned this whole thing about entrepreneurship. There's a lot of hype around the success side of things. But when you actually get to running a business, I think being in the media side is one thing to write about how people achieve things, but when you actually have to go and live the story yourself and go and see other people who live it, I love the down in the trenches stories of talking to entrepreneurs. And I think that, you know, one of the big lessons I learned blowing up a business was that you actually need to share your war stories. In Silicon Valley, for instance, you want the stripes on your back for having failed and blown up a business. In South Africa, you effectively blow up a business, you're done.
You're doomed.
And it's really, you blow yourself up from personal balance sheet perspective, a reputation perspective. So I love to be able to just talk to entrepreneurs, and you know, it's a lonely place when you're trying to get something off the ground. And I think that it's something that we all need is a better ecosystem for entrepreneurs to work in.
Now we've heard
and
we've heard it before, haven't we? So Gil Ovid, he is one of the Dragon's Den Dragons, and also the co-CEO of the Creative Council, and I mean, they've done incredible work. But he said, if I was given the choice of investing in two different kinds of people, one of them having failed and the other not. He would invest every time, or 9 times out of 10, in the person that has failed. Failure really is such an important part of the journey. Mark, you had something?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this whole concept of failure is something that we've gotten wrong to some degree, I think. And you know, we're guilty of it as media companies. We love to highlight the success stories. And, you know, Gil has gone and he's built that business over many, many years. And we didn't see the struggles that happened there. And we can talk to any entrepreneur. What you see, the front-end success things are fantastic to see, but it's the graph behind the scenes that nobody really appreciates.
Let's then go behind the scenes. So we're talking to you here. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to connect. Tell us about your background, a little bit of what you dealt with as you were growing up and how it shaped you and turned you into this person that seems to have a healthy appetite for risk, but then also has the ability to balance that and head up a large organization. Again, JSE listed, please.
So my background is one, I joined my father in a family business. We did some software for the food and pharmaceutical industry. We really serviced a couple of clients. It wasn't a particularly exciting or engaging business, but at the same time, I had become, and this would have been probably when I was 16, 17, I've always had this fascination with money, and of course I brought my dad the horse racing pages, and I said, teach me how to bet on horses, because this must be a way to make money. And he said he had no idea about how to go and bet on horses, but we flipped over the page and we looked at the stock market. He said, okay, here's something we can do together.
In some cases, betting on horses, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that you say I have a healthy appetite for risk. I think that can work both ways. So we built up this fascination of learning about how to go and invest in businesses. And I did quite well for myself in my early days. And I used that money to then go and launch a publishing business with somebody who was then my wife. And we managed to blow that business up quite spectacularly. You're talking 6-7 years worth of paying back of debt on that. But what was really interesting was you kind of have to learn, and I think it's one of the things that I've taken since then, was that you can't do things on your own. You need to be able to go and actually find the right people in your network.
Nice point.
And being able to go and work with somebody. I think we have this obsession with building something that's mine. But what really happens is the quality of your network. And at 24, 25, you don't have a great network in the business sense. And I eventually hit rock bottom when I was kind of digging under the couch looking for coins to go and buy bread for my kids' lunch. And I realized at this point I'd gone too far. And you know, you constantly believe just one more month, one more thing, being able to push through. And I ended up going and working at Succeed Magazine for a little bit as a journalist, and then I moved on to Fin24. And during that process, I was asked to then handle a restructuring of the old Finweek magazine.
Which you did successfully.
Which managed to do successfully. Came with a few interesting welts out of that, but it was a really interesting, it's interesting to be able to work inside of a corporate, and I think it's one of the things that we don't always appreciate, is that you can actually build some really interesting businesses inside of corporates. And be able to then go and take them out. On the back of that, I was asked to then go and take over at MoneyWeb about 2 years ago. And that's come with its challenges and excitement. But it is I love the media space. I love the business space. I always say that if there was ever a job that you could ever offer a 20-something, work in media, because I think the people you meet, the opportunities you get,
the skills you develop as well.
The skills you develop, and I think it's communication. You know, communication to me is still one of these underrated skills, the ability to talk to somebody, have an engage, you know, whether it's sales, whether it's PR, whether it is interpersonal relationships. I think media teaches you these things, and just that access to people is just phenomenal.
I think as you say that, I think about one of our previous guests here, Ronnie Aptierka, one of the founders of IS, Internet Solutions, and he's now over in the UK and he's running something called Coolfidence, which really pulls us back to this art of connecting with individuals. How do you bridge that gap? So yes, certainly confidence is a very important thing.
We always say that people are a business's greatest asset. What does it take as an MD, Mark? What does it take to be a leader and a head of an organization besides, obviously, the communication skills? What are the skills that have worked for you?
So sometimes I wonder whether or not I'm more of a cheerleader than a leader.
Interesting.
I think it is... I think that your leadership does tend to be able to dictate the way that a business works. Some businesses work phenomenally well in a very structured environment, and others work in a far more fluid thing. And it comes down to the people that you ultimately surround yourself with. Mm. I always remember interviewing Asha Bobart, who was the who's a founder of EOH, one of the most successful IT businesses in South Africa. Fascinating interview. And I asked him about this whole thing about how do you go and make yourself such a success. And he said, one, it was luck, and two, it was surrounding yourself with the most amazing people. I think he's a very humble leader, but a very well-respected, but very humble leader. Mm-hmm. And he said it did come down to luck. What you read in the papers, it's not. It came down to people who all shared a common vision. And I think that, from a leadership perspective, is what you want to be able to do, is try and communicate to people what is the vision that we've got for this business, and empower them to be able to get on and do it. And I look at what we've done with MoneyWeb now, and I've taken a group of people that I'd worked with previously through FinWeek and through a couple of other things, and we've been able to build them the right skills together. Mm. They all work together, but I think they've got a common vision, and I think that they see an opportunity. And I think people want to buy into a story. They want to come, they don't want to come to work every day just to go through the, as much as staff
a vision.
They just want to believe that there is something, that what they do matters, and that you're not going to always get the best salary in media, for instance, but there's something more to it, and that role that you play is incredibly valuable.
How do you balance that, though? So right now in your organization, there are going to be those people who just aren't feeling what they should feel. How do you help them to reconnect to that? Is it a personal thing that you have to sit down with them one-on-one and have a discussion and see where they're at? Or is it a little bit bigger, where you pull everyone into a meeting, a little bit of rah-rah? What has been working for you?
So one of the things I implemented, and it probably is contrary to the question in a lot of ways, is I'm a big believer that people should constantly be looking to move on. I remember being in when I was in the magazine business, and a whole lot of people sat around it, summoned to a meeting by management, and they were told, you know, thank you for your service, we're probably going to be closing this title down. Mm-hmm. And I just remember looking around at their faces, and these people who had done the same thing for 10 years suddenly were facing the big bad world. Mm. And it was something we implemented informally, because I think different people respond to it, but we tried to encourage everybody that at the 2-year mark, just go out and see what you're worth. Go and ask somebody else, where else can I, if I'm working in media now, can I go and work in an agency environment? Because I think it does tell you, am I in the right place? Because I think it's always the grass is always greener on the other side of the hill. But I think that if you can go and constantly benchmark yourself against what everybody else could be, what you could be doing, it does remind you that you can come back to it. And so that was a big thing we pushed, is that for 2 years, every 2 years, just go and see what you're worth. Is it a money thing? Is it a skills thing? Are you constantly learning inside of the business that you're in?
You're described as a turnaround guy. You know, you're described as, you get energized by talented people. Mm. What has made you successful, skills or connections? Either or both?
I think connections has been a very big part of, I've been very fortunate. I remember starting out as a financial journalist, and there was a quote that was given to me when I started: there's no equivalent of the Rutherford Dog Show in financial media. Mm. So
break that down. Past my pay grade.
So we've all been in media, and you go and you cut your teeth going, and in the community papers, for instance, you go and you cover the Rutherford Dog Show. This is how you make your first contact.
Correct, okay.
And you subsequently go on, and I remember starting at Fin24.
Like that.
And one week in, I had to go and sit and have lunch with Keith Kennedy, who was then CEO of Mutual and Federal. Mm-hmm. And I know nothing about short-term insurance. I was a 24-year-old kippie, and we had to go and sit there and go and chat to him. And it was to try and keep a conversation with somebody in the insurance industry is tough enough.
Yes.
So I think that it is very much a sink or swim thing. But I think that the thing where I've been incredibly lucky is I've met some amazing people along the way. And I think that media, particularly in the time that it's in at the moment, there are fantastic entrepreneurs in the sector, and I think that it's really nice to be able to just bounce off other. There's no overnight successes, and I think everybody's kind of cut through the BS. We all know where we're at, what we're trying to achieve, and I really respect the fact that the connections are what ultimately make business work.
Now, you're very good at helping others develop these connections. So I was at a event with you, was it last week, the week before? Just a small gathering, quite intimate, very nice. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thanks for the invite.
You were invited. now what? Now what do you say? No. So, and it was a lovely event. But what happened there is you shared a little bit of insight. You gave everyone in the room some good food for thought, something to chew on. But then the mood or atmosphere changed, where you said, "Okay, guys, now we're going to do something different. What are you here for? What do you want?" And you allowed everyone in the room to then. And by the way, you highlighted some individuals that they could ask things from as well. And then you gave it over to them. Just talk us through this thing, this evolution that has been happening with you and that, please.
So, I mean, I do quite a lot of work with Alon Reyes. And in fact, I was kind of talking a little bit about, I was chatting to him every couple of months. We kind of do a bit of a touch base session. And I had quite a tough year last year. And I messaged him saying, you know, things have gone quite a lot better this year. And he said, "But why didn't I just come and ask him for help?" I said, "But you know, you're busy. You're a busy guy. Why would you give your time?" Mm. And he said, "But like, this is how it gets done. There are no. I mean, Alon has a fantastic. He goes and lectures at Oxford. He goes and lectures internationally. He's recognised as one of the top business people in the country.
I mean, the biggest incubator in the Southern Hemisphere. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a busy guy. And for me, I said, "But like, you know, why would you want to do it?" And he said, "But like, this is how it happens. We actually have to go and ask for things." And he's always highlighted a really important point in the when it comes to entrepreneurs is we don't ask for stuff. Sit there and like, what will you give us? And then we kind of hope that there's somebody will do some business with us. And he said, like, entrepreneurs have to get out there and they need to ask. And I think that it's a habit that we're not in. We're always too shy to go and ask for things and to go and tap our networks. It's great to have a network, but what is the value to it? People want to go and give back. And in fact, you know, one of the people I do quite a lot of work with is Mark Barnes, who's now running the post office.
Yeah.
And I remember I'd done an interview with him, and I had never really we built a bit of a relationship. We would chat on a regular basis, and I ran into quite a big internal politics issue at my at one of my former employers, and he said, and I was just kind of relating to this totally in passing, and he said, "Well, why don't you come chat to me? We're going to have a pizza at the Jolly Roger." And we sat down there, and he was just sat there, and he was talking about how his fallout at Standard Bank, for instance, and it was really interesting just to be able to go and see that, you know, people do want to give back. I think it's a give and take, and I think you're about to put something into your network as well. But don't be afraid to ask, because at some point you will probably want to ask something of somebody else.
You know what? You wrote a piece, Mark, 5 important questions. Speaking of questions, entrepreneurs should be asking themselves, just mental checklists. And my favorite was, entrepreneurs should ask themselves, what is it that they actually do? You know, and define it in 58 characters and no less. I think that's so true. I think we want to be this and this and this and that. What is it that you do?
So I guess this is a complicated
sorry, you only have 58 characters. I think now it's down to 20.
I'm a storyteller. I think that in media, I get excited about media because and I can't answer the question in 58 characters, but I've got multiple parts to the business.
And please share, please.
But we are ultimately storytellers, and I think that, you know, media has undergone a big transformation in South Africa. Advertising rates are changing, the types of businesses.
Correct.
You know, look at this business versus a traditional radio business.
Yeah. Correct.
I think people want to be able to tell stories. One of the big structural things that we've been doing is, you know, we serve 500,000 visitors a month on the MoneyWeb website. It's a big audience. But, you know, if we were not there, how much are people prepared to pay for that service? You know, it's the traditional question about eyeballs. But what is that exposure worth to other businesses? If you work in the banking sector and you've got potential clients in it, we want to be able to go and tell the stories and create engaging media that's also profitable. And I think that that's, you know, it's the universal challenge, but it is an exciting one. And I think there's a whole platform that's effectively playing out in South Africa at the moment that will allow media businesses like this, like my business, to be able to get out there and go and tell stories.
We certainly agree. Let's pull back a little bit and let's just go a little bit more. We don't have to necessarily go personal, but perhaps it's going to go there. And we are running a little short on time, so let's get as many of these questions out as we possibly can. The biggest mistake you've made that is also your favorite mistake, what is that?
Biggest mistake would have been mixing business and personal finances.
Okay, interesting.
Ouch.
You know, when I say we lost 500, 600,000 rand and have spent many years paying that back, it sets you back an enormous amount of time. You've got to, and I think this is where the team comes into it, is you've got to decide how much I'm prepared to put into this investment, and then there's a time to pull the plug. And I think that for me is definitely the biggest, but it also has emphasized that you've got to be able to do something as a group rather than as an individual.
Very, very nice. Libby?
You're an avid reader. What are the two favorite books that future CSOs should read?
That's a fantastic question. There's a very good, the best personal finance book ever written was written in 1929. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's a free ebook. You can go and get it off the website. I think it's, you can pretty much find anywhere online. It's a great ebook. And, the principles of personal finance haven't changed since then. Simple as a simple does.
Must remember that, guys.
So Richest Man in Babylon. Yeah, okay, great. That.
It's probably a little bit cheesy, but it's The Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
We know that.
And the only reason that it really jumps out for me is I think the explanation of what an asset is. I often get asked, is my business an asset? Well, an asset's only something that generates a return on investment ultimately. And I think that when you start a business, I think it's such an important thing is, am I actually building an asset here?
Oh, yes.
That has some equity and somebody will be willing to buy it, because otherwise you're effectively a service provider and you're just going through the base. Through the motions.
Very nice.
Love that.
Yeah, very, very good. Here's another one. What is the one thing that you would coin, or one skill that you would coin your success to this point down to? That one skill, what is that?
Tricky one. I think networking has become something that I've really worked hard on in the last couple of years.
Okay.
I think that the ability to go and talk to other entrepreneurs and other business owners and try and be as genuine as possible, I think goes a long way. And I think that demystifying entrepreneurship for me is something that's hell of important.
Very nice. Should be a last one from your side.
Can you add skills without spending more?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a great question, and I think it's something that we forget a lot of the time. There are so many interesting people out there, or even online resources. And LinkedIn, in fact, is the perfect example.
Perfect example.
So LinkedIn, obviously, they've got the relationship with lynda.com, so you can go training through there.
Yeah.
But, if you go and ask how many South Africans pay for their LinkedIn subscription, most of them love the freebie product. They don't go and pay for the you can go and build amazing skills using LinkedIn. It's not like your Facebook or your Twitter. It's something where you can build a really powerful network and learn things incredibly quickly. And I think it's a very underrated tool that people use, that people don't use.
And again, literally costs you nothing but a little bit of time, as you've mentioned. Mark, it's been a great pleasure having you here.
Mark.
Can you believe the half hour is over?
Sure. We didn't even have to ask questions. You just gave out the information, which is a great guest to have in studio, I must say.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it really goes to the heart of that idea of being an entrepreneurial philanthropist. We have met many CEOs, many leaders here as a result of the show and other work that we do, and you're certainly one of the guys that we look up to. So thank you very much for being here on the show. We really appreciate it. Just quickly, tell everyone how they can get either hold of you or where do they go if they want to understand more about MoneyWeb.
They can email me, Mark, M-A-R-C, at moneyweb.co.za. Otherwise, you can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter. I love my LinkedIn. I love my Twitter.
58 characters.
Go for it. I love to connect with people. So the more the merrier.
Fantastic. All right. Mark, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Up next, we are going to be talking YALI, the YALI Mandela Washington Fellowship.
What is that?
Let's find out after the break. We'll see you right after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com. Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.